My name is Birdie, and I'm a medium. That means I can communicate with spirits, amongst other things. I started seeing spirits before I can even remember. I grew up feeling cursed, but now I am taking control of my abilities.
My name is Robert, and I'm an energy worker. That means I'm in tune with the flow of energies that surround us. I'm immersing myself in the paranormal to discover where my path will take me.
Welcome to our Spirit Diaries. Hello and welcome to the Spirit Diaries. My name is Birdie and I am a medium. I do quickly want to say, because of your listenership and how much support we've received from all of you, we were able to upgrade our audio equipment this season. So hopefully we sound a whole lot better, and moving forward, we will have new and better things to give to you all. And I am joined this season by our new co-host, who has agreed to stay on the podcast after last season. And I'm here with Robert.
Hello, everybody.
And do you have any paranormal abilities? What is your deal for new listeners?
Since I was young, I've kind of always heard things around me and dreamt about things that either were going to happen or I felt were happening around me in the environment that I was in.
Yeah, today you've actually been like ridiculously psychic. It's been kind of weird.
It's almost comical too, because it'll come out in like the littlest, dumbest ways. Like I'll do something and then like I'll make a movement or a reference to something, and then like within 30 minutes, something will come up and it'll happen multiple times within the same day.
Yeah. And I know a lot of that can be synchronicities,
right?
But there's too many in a row to where it's just like, and it's random things that you normally wouldn't encounter on a day-to-day basis.
Right. And I never know what is just me joking around and what's actually something that's going to pop up.
I think you're pretty psychic. Like I say this all the time in the podcast. I don't have a very strong sense of psychicness.
Right.
But your psychic is pretty strong. I'm very much the spirit communicating side.
Definitely. And then my weird energy stuff that I have no idea what it is.
Yeah. So Robert's still developing. He has a lot of energy. I would say you're an energy worker. I wouldn't say a Reiki.
No, I wouldn't either.
But definitely an energy worker.
Yeah. I'm still exploring to kind of figure out what it all is.
Yeah. And
what's going on.
So we're not experts. I want to make that very clear. We are just two people who have grown up in this paranormal world. So if you have suggestions on resources for us, I would be glad to have that. And I've been cultivating some resources on our website, myspiritdiaries.com. And over there, I have a library that I've been building of books that we both like in the paranormal that I feel comfortable recommending. And I'm working on adding that. And speaking of our website, also check us out on social media, on Twitter at @spirit_diaries. And we also have a YouTube channel. So any photos that go along with the podcast or any additional things that we have, we will show on the YouTube version, which is pretty cool. And excitingly, we just hit over 100 subscribers.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
In the big leagues.
Oh, I know. Now we can start bragging and calling ourselves YouTubers, huh?
Oh, I know, for sure. Just need to keep bumping that number up.
So I want to say that I've been really hesitant about recording season 4. This has been something I've been dreading since I started this podcast.
Right. This is where it starts to get real.
It does get very real. So, boy. Going into the story, at this point, even though Robert knows that I can communicate with spirits, we had realistically only talked about it maybe that one time that I told him his house was haunted and I gave him like a mini house reading.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, we never really brought it up again. Like, I would tell him like, ooh, you know, the bathroom's spooky right now, or I think I just seen somebody in there. But aside from little comments like that, we didn't talk about it outside the context of your house.
Right. We never went in depth with anything.
No. And I didn't share a lot with you. At that point, I hadn't told you everything about my life growing up. So all the information from like season one and two that I shared about my story, you had no idea.
Not yet, no.
So we were in college at this point in time.
Woohoo.
Was it woohoo?
No, not at all.
And I had this grand idea, and I came down to Robert's dorm one night, and I sort of proposed this idea that we move in together.
Which was terrifying in itself, because the safety of not having to pay bills or be an adult was all fading away once we got to college, and terrifying. And
yeah, I think the reality of how much life costed kicked in that first semester of college, because we both are... We were first-time college students, so we had no idea how much college costed, and neither of our parents helped or paid for college. So once we started dishing out that money ourselves, we were kind of...
terrified.
Yeah. So I started presenting the idea. Of course, I was like, hey, I want to move in with my boyfriend. But honestly, I presented it to you as, hey... this is a great way we can save money, and we can go into a business relationship to where we can agree to be roommates for one more year of life.
Right. And we were hanging out all together all the time anyways. You were in my room, I was in your room. So it's not like it would be super different.
Yeah. So we decided, you know what? Why not? Let's do it. So we started looking for our very first apartment. And it was a lot of fun. So I was 18 and...
I was 17.
Yeah, you were so young. I can't believe how young you were. And we were looking for a place, and we happened to find a place right next to campus. It was ridiculously affordable. And the weirdest part is it was a luxury apartment.
Right. Yeah, and it backed up to like a ginormous nature preserve. So it wasn't like super loud hustle and bustle of the city around the university.
Yeah, it was odd. I don't know. I still don't know how that place existed. It was like this little oasis in the middle of the city. And the best part about it was there was a gate on the apartment complex, so it was super secure. There was fountains when you drove in, and there was a jacuzzi. There was multiple pools. They had a workout center. Like, this apartment complex was at the top of the line, and it was stupidly cheap. So we looked at a apartment in there, and we seen one. It was upgraded, it was painted, everything was perfect, and we decided to lease it.
Mm-hmm.
So they told us, you know, come back in a month and we'll give you the apartment.
Right. And then when we got there, packed up all our things, all 5 pairs of clothes that we had being children.
You know, I don't even think we even had a box. I'm pretty sure we both carried in one trash bag, and that was
like a backpack that was just full of school books. Like, we didn't really have anything to our name. A couple hand-me-downs of furniture that friends and family had donated. But really, we just got there, we were ready to go. We walked into the leasing office, and the manager grabbed our paperwork just for final signatures, and then kind of looked at us funny and was like, we can't lease this apartment. This apartment is already leased to someone else.
And I flipped out, because it was highly unusual that we even found a place willing to lease to us, because at that point you were a minor.
Yeah, I technically wasn't on the apartment yet.
No, so it was only under my name, and they were super sketched out that I was only 18. You know, I didn't have any credit or rental history, so it was a blessing that we even got this place in the first place.
Right, because they were super worried that because we were dating, maybe we'd break up and no one could afford to pay the rent. And
yeah, who were they to say that?
I don't know, but that's literally what they said to us. They're like, what if you guys break up? Like, okay, we're going to probably continue to live there because I don't want to be homeless.
Right. So anyways, I was like, okay, what are you going to do? Because we have nowhere to go. College is starting. We can't go home. We have to live here. So they sort of shuffled around a few papers, and the ladies kind of gave each other a look. And they were like, oh, we have a unit that's available and nobody has rented yet. Will you take it?
And we were super wary, but at the same time, it was like, we don't really have an option. Your parents were too far from the university. My dad was too far from the university. We had nowhere on campus we could go. So we were like, well, let's see it. What's it look like?
Yeah, and they told us that we were not allowed to see the unit or go into the unit. We had to sign the lease and agree to it before we could even move in or look at it, which should have been a red flag. But again, it was our first time renting, so we had no idea. We seen the other unit we were supposed to move into, so we were like, you know what? If it's anything like that, it's going to be perfect. Let's do it.
Right, and they told us that it didn't face the parking lot, which I thought was a plus just because we weren't going to get the headlights through the bedroom window or loud people being obnoxious at all times of the night.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a perk. So it overlooked a lake and it looked into this forest preserve that is like a combination of cypress wetlands and swamps, marshes. And it was actually a 2,500 acre preserve behind our apartment,
which we didn't know at the time it was that big.
No, I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
So there was just massive perks to living here. So we said yes, and we moved in.
So the apartment itself was a 1-1. We had a bathroom that would connect our bedroom, and then it also connected to the living room. So it had two doors that were kind of catty-corner next to each other, which was strange.
That was so weird. I've never seen a bathroom with two doors.
Well, because it was a bedroom door, the bathroom door was right outside the bedroom door, and then the other one was right inside the bedroom door.
Right, so there was this little triangle of three doors within the apartment.
Right.
And the apartment also had no windows. It was a complete cell block. It only had the front door, which was solid, and then in the living room, which was also the kitchen and dining room, it was just one little room, had a sliding glass door that looked at the forest preserve, and then our bedroom had a sliding glass door that looked at the forest preserve. But there was no windows in the entire place.
None.
So it was really dark and dreary. It was not upgraded like the one we seen. It was all white. It had just like old carpets. It just felt kind of dingy.
Right.
But I was still really excited because it was our first place. So we moved in and the first night was kind of weird. You know, instead of being kids and sort of like partying and having fun and really letting loose the first night we lived together, I think we were in bed right as it was getting dark. We didn't really leave the bedroom. We shut all the doors and we just kind of stayed awake all night playing Uno. And I know I personally didn't share this at the time, but I was just feeling a little weird, though I couldn't put my finger on why I was feeling weird. I was just really uncomfortable. So like, I normally sleep in just a t-shirt and I was in full pajamas. Like, I just felt a little weird.
Yeah, it was definitely a strange feeling. Like, you felt like something was off, but you just couldn't quite put your finger on what it was.
I know I personally racked it up to just being, you know, jittery. It was the first time.
Same.
We were ever, like, spending the night together in our own house. Like, that was a crazy concept. So I kind of just was like, oh, you know, just first time jitters.
Right. We kind of just brushed it off and tried to ignore the weirdness.
So time went on in the apartment and we were there about a week and there was this adorable puppy that ran by our apartment. There was no one outside. I went outside and you followed me out. And I called the puppy over and I was petting it and looking for an owner, but nobody was there. So you lapped the apartment while I was holding this puppy, just waiting for someone. Nobody came. So we took the puppy into the apartment and we decided we let the office know when they opened because it was a weekend on Monday that we had found the lost dog. And until then, we'd hang on to him to make sure he was safe and he wouldn't wander out into traffic or into the preserve and get lost.
And we were kind of keeping an eye out through our sliding glass doors because that was the way that he ran. If anyone was walking by kind of looking for him or calling out a name or something, we were trying to be super vigilant because we're going to be home all weekend. So we were just keeping an eye out for everybody.
Wanted him to find his home again. And in the meantime, you know, playing with the puppy was great. Yeah. So this like lady comes up and we kept him on our screened in porch because like I said, we wanted to make sure that his owner would find him again. And this lady came up and started screaming at us that we had stolen her dog and that it was her dog and we stole it. She was causing a ruckus to where like people were coming out of their apartments and looking at us, and she was just going haywire.
And this was not long after we had found him. It had been like maybe an hour or two.
It was more than 2 hours. No. It was definitely just a very short period of time.
And I believe at that point in time, we had left our front door open because we were also kind of paying attention to making sure we could hear if anyone was walking around or looking for him.
Yeah.
So it's like our front door was open. We were actively paying attention and listening for anybody or looking for anybody that was looking for him. And she just stormed up out of nowhere.
Yeah, so we ended up letting her in our apartment to come pick him up because we were totally not wanting her to think we were doing anything nefarious. Like, we just wanted the puppy to find its home. Anyways, the puppy went on, and that night we kind of had a discussion of like, well, maybe we should get a puppy because he was so cute. And yeah. I just really loved him, and it was just sort of a discussion of like, oh, how fun would it be if we adopted a puppy?
Right.
But of course that went nowhere because we couldn't afford a puppy.
We couldn't afford the puppy or pet rent or whatever. It was like an extra several hundred dollars fee that we just didn't have.
Yeah, but I mean, that just sort of sparked this like really fun, like playful, like, oh, one day we can have puppy children. So that was neat. And as a little bit of time went on, I started seeing a spirit dog in our apartment, and I did not tell you because at this point I was really afraid of my mediumship. I was uncomfortable with it. I know I had kind of opened up to you about it, but overall I was just nervous about talking about spirit stuff. And right. I didn't think this was anything worthy of telling you about. It used to sit between our closet, which was a walk-in closet, and your side of the bed that you slept on.
Right. Comforting.
And it would just sit there and stare out the door towards the hallway. And that was a little unsettling. So most spirits that I had encountered like moved like people.
Right.
And this dog just sat and stared. And there was something about it that was unnerving with its eyes. I don't know if I said this yet, but it was a beagle. Very cute dog. Definitely on the puppy side, so a younger dog. And just something was off about its eyes. And I can't even tell you or explain what was wrong. It just felt a little strange. And the first time I seen the puppy, I was like, oh, cute, a puppy. Okay, anyways. But as time went on and I kept seeing this dog there, I got more and more wigged out by the dog just because it was unnaturally still, unnaturally off. It was wrong. There was something wrong.
Right. And at the same time, we started feeling even more uncomfortable because we had a lot of people starting to walk by the apartment, and there was only two apartments back there, ours and our upstairs neighbor, and then a giant grass space, which had to be like 50 feet.
Yeah.
And then two other apartments, a person and their upstairs neighbor. So people walking back there didn't really make sense. And to add to the weirdness, a lot of them would stop in front of our sliding glass doors in our living room and just try to stare into our apartment.
It was unsettling. And this wasn't just like one person. This was everyone who walked by. People would like walk by with their dogs or whatever. And there wasn't a sidewalk there, which was weird because there were sidewalks around the whole complex. But right. They would walk by, and then without a doubt, all of them would stop and just almost like trans-like turn at our apartment and just look in for a second and then continue walking. And it started really pissing me off.
Right. Because they do that like squinty thing when you're trying to see into like a dark space because they couldn't really see into our apartment. Yeah. But they were like really straining to see into our apartment.
It just really was unsettling. And I actually thought the lady who thought we stole her dog was like telling people we were crazy or something. Right. I started getting a little bit paranoid and I'm like, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I don't like it. And we bought these bamboo wall things that we put up on the screens to try and prevent people from looking in because it was happening so much. And it was only our apartment because we were talking about it and we're like, oh, you know, maybe people are just being nosy. They're looking into other apartments. So when we weren't in our apartment, we started watching and seeing like, oh, when people walk by, is this a thing? Do they just stop in front of people's apartments and look in? And they never ever did. It was always our apartment, even when we weren't home.
Right.
They would like stop and look.
Right.
It was weird.
And they never thought we seen them, or it was almost like they didn't care that we seen them because, I mean, I made eye contact with many people because, I mean, it was into our living room and I would look back and like acknowledge them by like waving or something. And then I would get like a funny or a dirty look from them and they like keep walking like, hey, you're looking into my apartment. Like, why am I the weirdo in this situation?
It was weird.
So after that point as well, I hadn't told Birdie yet, but I started to hear things in the apartment. And at that point, we had one television. Mm-hmm. It was in our bedroom. It was the television that I had brought from home, very old. And I had my gaming console hooked up to it. So I would lay in there and play video games on the bed while... you would be out in the living room at our desk doing homework or working on your laptop or something. Mm-hmm. And I recall one time I was playing and I remembered hearing my name be called. And it sounded like you called my name.
That still bothers me to this day.
Yeah, and I remember responding because I remember you calling my name and going, yeah, what's up? And you going... What? And I was like, you called me. What do you need? And I remember you going, I didn't say anything. Like, I've been out here quietly studying.
Yeah, I remember that. I thought you had heard something on your game or maybe you heard something outside. And what was really unnerving about it for me is you were like, no, you said my name and it was your voice.
Right.
Like, you were adamant about that because I was like, oh, somebody outside being like, oh, hey, babe, or something. And I was like, it wasn't me. And you're like, no, it said Robert.
And it was your voice.
It was you.
Yeah, exactly. And I was playing like a first person shooter or something that I didn't care if I could hear it or not. So I always shut the volume off on those. So it wasn't even like I had headphones in or there was noise coming from like someone else's mic and game or something. I always mute the TV and was just playing. And when I heard your voice say my name, I didn't think anything of it because I was like, yeah, what's up? Like, what do you need?
So we kind of brushed that whole situation off and just kept moving on with our lives. And luckily for me, I did stop seeing the dog. But even worse was I started seeing these like little shadows dart around the house. And I had never really experienced shadow children. I had seen child spirits. I had seen a shadow spirit, but I hadn't seen shadow children. The only experience with a shadow I ever had was my friend's dad, who did not have a very clear form. And I talked about that in season one or two of the podcast. And... These were weird. I thought they were like twins, and I sort of found it comforting because I used to see these little, what I called the twins, spirits when I was a kid that I used to play with. So part of me thought, oh, you know, maybe it's the twins. Maybe they came with me and they're just checking up on me in the apartment. Like, we used to play together outside and swing together. And I really did like those spirits. They were sweet. Like, thinking back, it's kind of creepy that I had such a good relationship with spirits.
Right.
But honestly, it wasn't anything to be afraid of. They were just children. So when I started seeing these little dark shadows dart through the house, they were only about, you know, 3.5 feet tall. They were to 3 feet tall. They were small. I kind of didn't think too much of it. It did bother me because they were always really fast. So it was always like darting from like the bathroom to, we had this like closet underneath the stairs they would dart to, or from the kitchen into our room, or from our room into somewhere else. They never were still, and they were shadows, so they did not have any clear defining features. The only reason I thought they were children was because they were short and they ran around. And I started noticing while I seen these two little spirits darting around, I also started noticing like lights would be on in a room when I know I shut them off, right. Or a cabinet would be open that I know I shut, especially the bathroom doors, because there was that like little triangle of three doors from our bedroom, the bedroom to the bathroom and the bathroom to the living room all right there. We typically always kept them shut because if we opened them all up, it created this weird little blockage
of doors.
Yeah. So we typically kept them shut, or we only use the one door to the bathroom, and they were always, the wrong ones were open, the lights were on, things just were getting misplaced. And up until that point, I had never experienced the spirit actually physically interacting with my environment. It was always on a very spiritual, psychic level, I guess you could say. It was never physical. I never had a physical contact with the spirit, right. You know, I've never touched them, they've never moved anything, we have never interacted in each other's environments. So this was super unnerving to me, and you also were noticing things were like misplaced, right?
Yeah, I had a lot of things where I'm super meticulous with where I put my things and
hyper organized.
I remember where I've put everything, and I remember where you've put everything.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
So, because I know you're going to ask me, so I always make sure to like mental note. And things were just not where they should be. And I know that it was something that you would not have ever touched. Of mine, or it would be like my phone, or my car keys, or a game console like controller, or just something random where it's like, I know you wouldn't have really like moved into a really random place.
Yeah.
On the other side of the apartment.
And I was hyper aware about not touching your stuff, especially since we were so new with living together. I was very much trying to mind my own space.
Same.
And I definitely never touched anything of yours,
right.
Nor would I ever. I mean, even to this day, I feel like I really don't move your stuff around. I think we're pretty good about leaving each other's stuff where it should be.
Yeah, or if we move it, we let each other know, like, hey, I put your phone over here,
yeah.
Just because it's in the way or going to get hurt, damaged or something if I leave it, type of thing.
So all these experiences really started bothering me. I was getting more and more uncomfortable with the things I was experiencing. And I decided it was time that I sit you down and I come out of the closet as a medium and sort of confess that I think we're living in a haunted apartment.
Yep. And I wasn't shocked when you started talking to me about it, because I had had my own things happening that I hadn't told you about.
So we will pick back up on how that conversation went over in the next episode, and I just want to thank you all for listening to the Spirit Diaries.